Hello and welcome to Equine Voices Podcast. My name is Ronnie, an intuitive equine communicator. I hope you enjoy this episode and thank you for listening.
Welcome to Interspecies Evolution. The purpose of this podcast is to highlight human consciousness and how our self-awareness can lead to our honoring animals as conscious beings as well. We have gathered more than 36 people with unique experiences and education, inviting them to share their journeys and how their relationships with animals have changed along the way. If you are seeking inspiration on your own journey of awakening, or simply want to improve your relationships with animals, we invite you to join us because it is time for interspecies evolution. Here's your host, Jenny Jablonski.
My guest today is Ronnie King. Ronnie is returning for another exciting conversation about animal communication. And today we're focusing on messages, giving messages to people, surprising messages, unexpected messages, and sometimes, unfortunately, unwanted or unaccepted messages. So welcome back to the podcast, Ronnie.
Thank you, Ginny. Thank you so much for inviting me back to your amazing, wonderful podcast. And I'm really excited to talk about messages because that's something that I do quite regular, but it just happens organically. And I always believe that who I get a message for, that on some level, on some level with themselves, with their own consciousness, own being, is ready to accept it, because I don't think I've had a message where it's not taken, as far as I'm aware. There might be some wanting clarity, but most people have been courteous and taking the message.
Wonderful. Would you like to give an example? And on this podcast, we talk about our own experience, our direct knowledge, our direct knowing. And how did that evolve for you? And when was the first time you were called to give a message to someone?
Okay. I can't remember the first time, but I was probably in my car, because that's when I have the least distractions. So I'm in my car driving, and it usually starts with the person pops in or the horse pops in, and I take a note of it. And then sometimes if I'm busy, obviously driving, I get somewhere and then I'm distracted because I've got to do what I've got to do. And then I normally get the feeling and the name again a second time. And I acknowledge that to myself. Okay, that's the second time. And then when I get it the third time, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm driving, it doesn't matter where I am. I will stop what I'm doing and go, okay, I'm listening. And quite often it's a feel that the person's pops into my thoughts, and I'm sort of aware, and I'm listening and feeling what this is. Now, sometimes there's not always words to start with. It's just me acknowledging that I'm ready. I'm opening the connection for the communication. Then when I say the first word, it's like, okay, I've got this word, I've got this feeling. I'll say the word out loud to myself. Quite often I record them into the phone and I'll send them directly to the person. I'll record it. As I'm recording, then the rest of the information comes, which is very similar to communication, how it is for me when I'm working with horses and people. But yeah, I get them quite frequently, and I don't mind passing the message on, because I will always say, if this doesn't resonate or it doesn't mean anything, then I apologize for disturbing you, and you don't have to take this. You know, if you don't mind letting me know if it does mean something, all you have to do is a thumbs up or just say hi. Yeah, that's fine. I'll record the message, I'll pass it on, and then that's it. That's it. That's my bit done. And then if I get feedback, which I do tend to get feedback, even if it's just thank you. Yes, I get that. And sometimes I'd like a bit more, because the messages can be quite exciting. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means. But that's just me being the human part. But I find it fascinating. So for me personally, it's not a case of going up to a stranger, or although sometimes that's happened, and I'm shoving a message down their throat. It's always facilitated. I believe it's set up and the ears are already open to hear it, to receive it. And because of that, I trust the messages that come. If I get a message, it's because I meant to. There's no thinking, is that me talking or is that somebody else? I trust it so much now and I know it. And like I said, three times for me, if it comes three times, that's like pay attention. And sometimes it's just a snippet and sometimes it can be a bit of channeling that comes through and I pass that on. There usually is a connection. So quite often it's people I've connected with and it's not always physically. It can be I've had messages for guests that I've interviewed and then later I've passed those on. For people, clients that I've met, the horses come through, but there's something else that's come through too and I pass that on. I don't always ask for proof, but it comes naturally. And then the person will say to me, oh, that makes sense because of this. So that's why the feedback is important as far as that's concerned. I don't need to know the details because it's personal. But I love doing that. And it's a big part of what I do. Yeah, it's every week there's something that comes through and it might be just a little thing. I pass it on. It's either a text or a voice message. I have had things where there's emotion in it and you know there's emotion and I'd like to think that I'm very empathetic and I say it how I would like to receive that and I don't allow my head to interpret, or I try not to anyway, if it's normal stuff. It was funny, I had one the other day for a lady and as the message came through, one of her guides came through and she asked me to sit in the energy so that I could feel her as she spoke. And that was really interesting because my head started to have an idea of what I thought it might be due to a previous conversation. But as I said it though, as I was saying it, because I say it to myself, it's like I speak to myself and I'm saying it out loud as I'm recording it. And then as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, no, I don't think it is that. But you know, when if you're learning something about yourself or you're going through a plan in your head and you talk to yourself and you sort of say this plan one way and you're mulling it over because you're thinking, oh, maybe I should do that. And you get this feel thinking, no, I don't think it's that one. That's what I need to do today. And it's similar to that when the communication comes. So it was quite funny that she said, sit in my energy. And I smiled because I knew why she said, sit in my energy, because she wanted her essence to come through and not to get distracted by what my head thought it might be. But I'm aware of that. So yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
I love that. The very first time I was introduced to people giving messages to other people was following my, second near-death experience. And I went to meetings held monthly in different parts of the country where other people who have had near-death experiences would share their experiences, because many of us have quite astonishing after effects. And it can be quite confusing for a while. In fact, it is said that it can take people up to 7 years to fully integrate and understand the experience, heal from it, and really develop a true sense of why it happened and what direction our life is taking us. And I enjoyed going to these meetings because they were filled with people who had either had a near-death experience, known someone who had a near-death experience, or had a loved one or a friend or a colleague pass away, and they were searching for answers. And in that environment, people are seeking messages, seeking validation that we are infinite beings of light, that beings can exist multidimensionally, that life goes on after the physical body passes away. And in that environment, I felt like I feel right now. I just have chills. I don't know if you can see, like every hair on my arms is standing up. I just feel the truth of it. It makes me feel so joyful and so enthusiastic and so passionate about the conversation. If somebody were there in a group, we would break out into talking groups or experiencing groups or sharing groups after a meeting. And if there was someone in the group who could give messages and say, oh, you know, your grandmother that passed away when you were little is standing right behind you and giving these beautiful messages, or someone maybe in their 40s who had a young child pass away, or 30s or 40s, people were so gracious and so thankful and so enlivened and heartfelt. The experience was so heartfelt and so emotional that I realized, firstly, it's true. Secondly, it affects people deeply. Thirdly, if you do this and you are this, you are celebrated. I didn't realize when you walk outside of that room, it's not always celebrated. Not everybody is seeking those types of answers. Not everybody wants those types of messages, and for 101 or more reasons. And so, you know, many years passed, and from time to time, I would give people those types of messages. And for the most part, 99% of the time, people were thrilled to receive them. I walked past, you know, somebody's plant and it said it needed water or a bigger pot. So giving the message from a potted plant makes people happy. Or walking in a yard, I would clearly see that a dog, you know, had been buried there. And, oh, is this your dog? Because he's here talking to me. Really interesting things like that. And after many years, 5, 6, 7 years, I started working with people, and animals would come into the people sessions, right? The human sessions, and they would start giving messages. And for a while, I was a little put off, like, what the heck? What the heck is going on? These animals are bothering. But I just realized how much it really affects most of us to receive messages from people who have crossed over. But what you and I are really discussing today is animals who are alive, people who are alive receiving messages either from their benevolent team of guides or their animals or their higher self. You know, that certainly happens a lot. But I've had it happen where I was woken up in the middle of the night by an animal to give a message to, and it was a horse, to the owner of the horse. And I knew that the owner of the horse did not care for me much at all. The prior year, I had spent thousands of dollars to fly across the country to meet someone who worked in the equine industry. And it had been recommended that we would work well together and our efforts would be very complementary and maybe we could do a project together. And I got there and she didn't resonate with me at all. She was very much a mind-body person who worked with, you know, the physical movements of the horse, not necessarily the spiritual aspect of it. But she had invited several people to come and meet me. And it turned out that I flew cross country to meet these other people. So even though she wasn't quite enamored with me, to put it nicely, the people that I met there became good friends and continue to be good friends. And I've worked with them on many, many occasions since then. But it was Valentine's Day. It was the morning, the early morning of Valentine's Day. And my husband and I had gone on vacation. And I was laying in bed and this person's horse came and filled up the room and said, excuse me, I need to talk to, you know, my owner, my caretaker. And I said, what? I said, she doesn't like me. I'm certain she doesn't care for me. I don't think she's going to accept a message for me. I think you need to go to somebody else. I tried to go back to sleep and the horse came again. Ginny, I really need you to give this message. I really need to talk to her. I need you to call her and facilitate a conversation between us. And I said, oh, I just can't imagine there's any way that this will work. Are you sure? And the horse was adamant, you know, yes, please do this. So I woke up in the morning and I thought long and hard about it. I asked my higher self, is this the right thing? I grounded. We were in Sedona on vacation. So I went outside and I grounded and I talk to the rocks and the trees, and I talked to my higher self and my team, my horses at home, and everybody said, this is important. The horse is asking you to be its voice. If the woman doesn't receive it, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Don't project onto it. So I had to do a little bit of healing for myself to make sure that I wouldn't project onto that, you know, but I did. And I texted her and it sounded as if she would receive the message, but it wasn't quite convenient at that time or what have you. And we texted back and forth over about a week. And finally, I got a sense, maybe she isn't going to be open to receiving the message. So to encourage her, I said, you know, please let me know when you're ready to receive the message, because it is a message of love. And her response was, thanks for the message. Great. Okay, bye. So she didn't want to have a conversation. She wasn't open to that conversation. And a few short weeks later, that horse passed away. And I have to tell you, Ronnie, that was a wonderful opportunity for healing for me. Because here was a horse who really wanted to give a loving message to someone and totally believed I was the right person to give the message, and apparently didn't go to any other animal communicators because we have mutual friends. And I had to do a lot of healing around whether or not people receive the message. And if they do receive it, how they perceive the message, to not bear that burden of responsibility. And that really is a thing. You know, so many of us are waking up now, waking up to our abilities, right? Our abilities are coming online, telepathic, claircognizant, clairvoyant. And many people are stuck and they're not receiving these messages. And for me, from my perspective, if anybody gave me a message, I would be grateful. I would be so grateful. But other people, of course, have the free will choice not to receive a message. And there are many reasons why people choose not to, many of which are their unhealed wounds. It's really not about, you know, they would say boundaries or what have you. It's more, many times I've seen it be, it's about fear or a doubt or a lack of faith or a worry that if you do wake up and believe in all of this, that once again, we'll be persecuted from the many life experience where we've shared our gifts and been persecuted. And we could talk about this, of course, for hours and hours. But I think it's something that people who are considering becoming animal communicators or psychics or mediums or messengers of any kind, whether it be professionally or just casually between friends and family, we have to know that the wounded parts of us can light up when people don't want to receive or perceive incorrectly or misuse, misinterpret the message. Does that resonate at all with you?
Yes, it does. That was quite sad. But as you were talking, I felt sadness for the lady that didn't, for whatever reason, couldn't take the message or didn't want to hear. And the horse was given the love and wanting to say something to her. And maybe she was afraid of what the horse was going to say, or maybe she didn't believe. I don't feel that was the case, because that's what I'm picking up now. There was a fear of something within that. But again, I can't prove that. This is just what I'm sensing. And all you can do is to do your best is to pass on, if you can, the message. If it's a case of they don't even want to hear, then there's nothing you can do, really. I must say, I haven't had, touch wood, I haven't had that experience. Many years ago, I made a promise to myself, and I think that's what the universe is heard, that I would hear any message, and if I was able to pass it on, I would, regardless of whatever. And for me, I'm always open. It's there, you know, otherwise I wouldn't get those. It's not intruding to me, because it's usually, as I said, when I'm driving, And then because I say it's when I'm getting my car, then the universe knows, okay, she's in the car, let's connect. And most of the messages that I pass on have been, because I always say the time. So if I record this, I will say it's Tuesday, 7 o'clock or 7 p.m. in the UK, so that the person knows what time I got the message, because that's quite relevant quite often. They may have just been doing something or thinking about something, and the message becomes more relevant for that reason. And again, I always start with, hi, I hope this makes sense. If it doesn't, that's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. You know, don't take it on. That's fine. But if it does, just let me know, and that'd be great. And then sometimes I'll get the second part of the message, and I can get like little things which mean nothing to me, and I'll go, does this make sense? And then I'll text them. But it does start with a connection of some kind. Now, I made a promise to the universe that I would always be open, and to me that is the case. So it's not very often Aunt Nellie or grandpa, you know, grandma that's passed, but I do get those that come through as the main message comes through. I mean, the one yesterday was lovely because the lady that came through was obviously a guide. She wasn't a relative. She may have been in another life, but she was a guide. And it was just lovely that she let me sit in her energy, and it was very soft. And I trust the feel. So it's about trusting. And for me, it's like second nature now. Doesn't mean to say that it's always correct for somebody else, but to the best of my ability, what I'm receiving, I'm giving out as clear as I can. Now, two people can see something going on, and they'll describe it differently. So I only give what I receive, what I feel, and no more. Because when my head starts to have an opinion, then I can tell, because the chatter sort of comes in a little bit more. But again, sometimes it's chatting. As I'm chatting, it's almost like, right, okay, clear that bit out. Now we're coming through again. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So it's like you're listening, you're talking, and you're channeling, you're hearing, you're feeling. And I've been lucky that the messages have been, say, quite nice messages. They haven't been like the message that you received and wasn't taken, unfortunately. I have had, I don't know if I talked about this before in our previous podcast, I can't remember, a horse cry for help, and it was really desperate. And I knew who this was for, but I had no idea. So I passed this message on, and the person received it and literally got back to me straight away saying, they've just opened an email, and what you describe, I'm looking at the video right this minute. So I says, can you help? Yes, probably. Okay. And that's all I needed to know. But my curiosity was, well, did he help? What happened? But that's a human, that's the curiosity and wanting to know, because although you're giving them, it's the same as somebody receiving. It's, well, how did she know that? It's strange. Do you find that, Ginny?
Yes. I mean, I think it depends. Different people have different levels of awareness or belief. If you're asking about how the people receive, or are you asking about how do you know that you're receiving with certainty? Because I'm 100% certain.
Oh, no, not that. It's like you're watching a little movie, mm-hmm. and you can hear yourself and you know what such has happened. But it's like I'm outside of that and I'm watching thinking, wow, how did they do that? It's not quite like that, but it's, yeah, it always amazes me. It always amazes me.
Absolutely. For me, it's different for every animal and every human being, because as souls, we have developed different levels of psychic abilities in many lifetimes. And in this lifetime, depending upon our conscious awareness, our intellectual understanding of things, we open certain, what I call evolutionary gateways in our consciousness, and we then open to receiving information differently. Communicating with animals, I could have three dogs in the same room and three dogs communicate differently. One pictures, one feeling emotion, one a full-on dissertation, won't stop talking for 15 minutes and take a breath of air, right? It's different. Plants communicate different. And I was interviewing a doctor recently, just a few podcasts back, and I said something about one of the plants saying, you know, I'm going to come home with you or something like that to me. And he made sort of an offhandish joke. And this man is a shaman. And he sort of offhandedly said, oh, well, how did the plant learn English? You know, well, my response to him was, the plants and the animals don't have to speak English. Our souls communicate in a universal language, and we translate it because we are in a human body, either speaking German or Russian or Cotillion or what have you. The plant does not necessarily have to speak English, but plants, animals, and other people can perfectly repeat to me what other people have said in the house, word for word for word, including swear words. So we know that they can hear. And because our thoughts create pictures, they can read the pictures. And certain souls are very advanced and communicate very extensively, very complex ideas, very, very specifically, certainly. It does amaze me every day. As much as I am 100% certain, 100% grounded, I've spent so much time and effort and money talking to people across the world, making sure that I'm bringing forward, you know, accurate information and all of this, there is not a shred of doubt whatsoever. And nevertheless, no matter how confident we are, others can have a lack of confidence or certainty. And I'll share one other with you before we continue. A horse came to me maybe 2 years ago, very seriously. I need help. Please call my caretaker. Now, I had met this horse in person, owned by sort of a colleague, friend of mine. And the horse said, I am in dire straits. I have a lot of issues. I can't get my soul back in my body. I've got a lot of trauma in my nervous system. I don't belong here. There's something wrong. Now, I was very friendly with this person, and I contacted her the next day and we spoke, and she said, well, what can I do to help? And I said, well, there are these few things, but he has a list. He really wants to talk about this. And she basically said, you know, thank you very much. And so the horse kept coming to me, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm unable to help you. And he said, I will find you. I will find you. And I said, well, you're going to have to find me in a very ethical way, because I can't do it like this. I'm unable to continue this conversation. Well, less than a year later, another friend, mutual friend, contacted me and said she had a new horse that was asking to communicate with me. And I said, sure, of course. And we got on the phone, and the horse came forward. And I said, oh my gosh, it's this same horse. Well, thank goodness that person could hear. And the horse told me everything that was wrong. The person paid for a session with me. We figured it out. And the horse was totally allergic to living in Arizona, was in the wrong place. It needed to go back to another state where it previously lived. And sure enough, the universe had created the perfect opening for it to return to its original owner, gladly, happily, under wonderful circumstances. So sometimes the universe does move the chess pieces around on the board, and the message is heard, and we are able to help, and not as quickly as we would like sometimes. Unfortunately, it did take a year, and the horse did suffer somewhat, quite a bit actually. And the woman that had taken over the care for the horse said she couldn't believe how much was going on with the horse that wasn't previously perceived. So anything can happen. And I think no matter what happens, we have to know that we've been asked to give a message for a reason, and that we are doing so ethically and responsibly. We're not doing it out of ego. We're doing it out of love and compassion and trying to be of help. But like you say, if it doesn't resonate, you know, just let it pass on by. No harm, no foul.
Absolutely. You can't force somebody. And the same is for me. You've got to be open and ready to accept that. I do find it comes in waves for me. As you were talking, I was given a visual, and they were saying, explain it this way. So if you can imagine a spaceship going through space, and it's orbiting a planet, and that's the person that I'm connected to, and they're orbiting around this planet. And then here am I, and my ship is coming into their orbit too. So we're both aligned. And each time their conscious may be talking to mine, and that's how it's coming. So basically, sometimes it's them talking to themselves, but through me, okay, or giving them an inkling. So that's how it's coming. And then then they'll go out of my orbit and it's like that. And then maybe a few months later, we're back in sync again, because it does come in waves. I find people I'm giving message to quite frequently, and then it tails off naturally. And then somebody else will come in, or there's, you know, there's more than one at a time. But then if you think about it, if everybody connected and you stayed connected the whole time and you were passing messages on to everybody you connected with, you'd have no time to live. For me, it naturally has a cycle, and when it's finished, I'm almost, okay, that cycle's done. And maybe the person has, vibration has changed, so they don't need that anymore. They're able to connect, or somebody else is to take over, because it's relays. I won't get a message for somebody that I am not able to pass that on, even if it's like third, fourth, fifth party. There has to be a link. There has to be, otherwise there's no point for me. That might be different for you, Ginny, but for me personally, there's these pathways, and that's how it works.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being willing to have this conversation. I think that it's very helpful. I know that it's quite helpful, in fact, for people who are going through these types of growing pains and learning how to navigate these new abilities that we're all getting and that we're opening up to. And not everybody is teaching ethics when they're teaching animal communication. Not everybody is teaching psychic awareness when they're teaching healing modalities. And, you know, I am certain one that promotes that every single week. How can we be more self-aware, more self-responsible, energetically aware, manage our own energy, standing in our truth, on our own healing journey, doing the best we can every day? That's all. Everybody is already doing the best they can every day. And in navigating this conversation, this is where we begin to refine what self-awareness means, refine our discernment, refine our relationship to other people. And as you said, your relationship to the universe and what you indicated you would be willing to do, and under what circumstances, you know, with obviously very healthy boundaries. I appreciate you so much coming back and having this conversation. I'm certain many people are going to benefit from it. Would you like to share anything in closing?
Yes, I'd just like to say that I didn't ask how it would come. That's mm-hmm. how it's worked out. But my understanding is that you already know, it's just the human has to get on the same page. It happens naturally. That's my understanding. And also, it's not a showmanship, it's from the heart. And you know when it's coming from the heart. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Your intention is honourable, and with that compassion and understanding. And you don't have to read minds. You don't have to know somebody's life history. That's not what it's about. I think sometimes people can be, because when I first started to get the messages, I was aware that people hadn't asked me, and I know healing in that you don't give healing unless they've asked for it. But I felt, and my guidance was, they have asked you on a different level. Okay. And I feel that, I sense that, otherwise I wouldn't get the message. It wouldn't come to me. It wouldn't come. So I have to trust that and trust the feel, but not to be scared, because if you're unsure, if somebody's giving you a message and you're unsure, just say, can I just digest that? I can feel that my guard is up. I don't know why, but that should be telling me something about myself. So would you mind if I just sit with this and see how I feel? Anybody with worth his salt would say, absolutely, no problem. If somebody's forcing you to listen, that's a whole different ballgame. There's no force in this at all. It's purely given from the heart. What you do with it is entirely up to you. It is not my responsibility and my goal or aim to make sure that you do something with this. I've done my job passing it on. I hope it's got to where it's needed, because that's why it's come to me. But the responsibility is not mine, how you deal with this. But yeah, I can understand there may be people that I've started doing messages and they get excited and they're enthusiastic, but not sort of pulling back and just seeing and feeling the other person. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Very wise words. Very wise words. I invite the listeners to return again and have another conversation with me next week, because now is the time for interspecies evolution.
The information provided in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional, medical, psychiatric, or veterinary advice. Our conversations are based on our life's experiences. We intend this podcast to be complementary and supportive. It is not intended to be a substitute for traditional medical, psychiatric, or veterinary care. If you need a doctor, a psychiatrist, or a veterinarian, please contact one immediately.
You've been listening to Ronnie King at Equine Voices. Thank you for listening and speak to you soon.